they're interested in anti-fascism.
Who do you vote for? Do you not vote?
I don't vote.
At all?
At all.
Except for weed.
Except for weed.
But what and about, guns. Like, if we're talking about, like, healthcare or, like, things that really do affect people's life, you still don't vote?
If there was a bill for actual universal healthcare without a tax increase and without a tax penalty, I would vote in favor
of it. But is universal healthcare anarchism?
Universal healthcare is socialism.
But anarchist.
Anarchism and socialism
blowing
aren't necessarily...
my mind, yo.
They're not against each other. Anarchism is a position of authority. Socialism is a position of capital.
Interesting. All right. Well, that is it. That was a great show. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, callers.
Thank you, K-Boo. Thank you, callers.
Jasmine Moneymaker, and you are listening to KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs here on your favorite community radio station, KBOO. KBOO is dedicated to growing the next generation of media makers and has been fundamental to community media for the last 50 years. KBOO holds the spirit of Portland and the Northwest in our daily broadcasts of art, culture, music, and grassroots politics. Donate to our Kickstarter today so that KBOO's roots as a creative and visionary hub of energy will continue to grow and support the next generation of media makers.
Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Donate to the campaign and share it with your friends. And thank you for your support of KBOO.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Time is 9:02. Up next is Press Watch.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. With the stock market shaky and the petro-yuan on the horizon, it's important that you defend yourself and your loved ones from American corporate capitalism and Jim Crow policing. I have some headline news to go over, and I want to talk about how to survive the USA economically and otherwise. And yeah, I want to talk guns. Trump isn't going to help you with the guns. He had a televised stunt yesterday, and I watched it. I think it was at the White House. He pretended to listen to some kids about getting slaughtered with automatic weapons. and I noticed that the one black girl that I could see was not in the front row, and then he bloviated about some ridiculous scheme of arming the teachers. Now, I probably don't need to tell you that that, of course, is not going to work. It's just a matter of logistics. If you want to harm someone with a gun, well, and you know when you're coming and they don't, well, you've got the drop on them, don't you? As an anarcho-socialist gun owner, I want the society to confiscate all the assault rifles. But confiscation is too... Oh, it wouldn't work because, you know, all the guys with their rifles will just feel like they're being crushed. You know, they'll take off their shoes and stand meekly in line at the airport in their socks, but, you know, can't take away their assault rifles. So I suggest something else. Not really confiscate. I want the society to offer a bounty for AR-15s and all semi-auto assault rifles. Now, you may say, what about your anarcho-socialism? And I say, if the revolution needs them, don't worry, we'll steal them back. And I would also say, we, meaning American society, is just armed to the teeth. Just so many millions and millions of guns. If we were going to have a revolution with those guns, we would have had it already. And logistically, it's ridiculous to think that we can do it that way. So, but as many have pointed out, an armed revolution would depend on far more than artificial. It would depend on far more than guns. It would depend on artificial intelligence, pulse tactics, propaganda, if you think it out. And it would have to be done, you know, if we're talking about an armed revolution, by people who actually know how to do that sort of thing, which is to say that a substantial part of the armed forces would have to go over to the idea of a revolution. So that's all in the revolution box, and I only bring it up because of the Second Amendment argument that we need the guns to defend ourselves from the government. I think we need to have a little bit of self-respect, a whole lot of education. We need to have paper ballots. There's a whole lot of things we need to protect ourselves from the corporate-owned government. But anyone who thinks they're going to take Washington with rifles is a lousy tactician. The Second Amendment was created to keep down the poor, the slaves from Africa, and the indigenous people from here, and it has nothing to do with the current scene. So show me your AR-15, and I'll show you my epoxy glue. Happily. Won't work after that. So I'm here to say, ban assault rifles. Ban them. And I would like to suggest the following method. Let's ban the sale of assault rifles, just like we did for years and years. And let's offer a $2,000 no questions asked bounty, $2,000 for your AR-15, your whatever it is with the semi-auto and the great big magazine. We don't need those. Nobody needs them. I don't care if they're fun, so what? Obviously, people are dying. If you care about your fellow citizens, if you care about school children, then let's offer a $2,000 bounty, and you might say, well, where will we get the money? This is a very rich society, very rich. I would like to suggest a little sarcastically that some of the Pentagon's semi-secret multi-trillion-dollar slush funds be used to offer that $2,000 bounty. Now, think about it, how it would work. Logistically, people are poor. Half the population does not have sufficient work, sufficient income. We know this. I mean, we can go over the real statistics, but we all know experientially that people are hurting. And if all those rifles, whether they work or not, no questions asked, no use test, no nothing, if you can get $2,000 for a rifle, what'll happen? Well, I predict after a couple of years, they'll become pretty darn scarce. If the sale of them is banned, if you can get $2,000, I mean, heck, people will be stealing them just to turn them in. So there's a whole lot of nonsense promoted by the NRA, frankly, and by the movie industry and the entertainment industry that equates guns with manliness. And that's a shame, because guns have nothing to do with manliness. And I would like to suggest, if you have problems with flaccidity, get a counselor. Get one of those little blue pills. Don't get an AR-15. So I'm interested. What do you think of that? What do you think of this scheme? What do you think of a bounty to get rid of AR-15s and generally the idea of banning the sales and one method or another of getting rid of those schoolyard slaughtering weapons? So you're listening to Press Watch. This is KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and I'm doing things a little differently today. For one thing, I'm sitting down because I've had oral surgery. I've had, I've had I've had 2.5 teeth taken out, and I am woozy. So I'm just going to sit down today, and I don't have the Periscope video feed on either. I'll bring that back next week. I look like I'm woozy, and I just don't have it together to rig that system right now, so I'm going to do that next week. Today is just old school radio, and I'd like to invite you to call in. And I think this is one of those times where radio is really, really useful, because we have a moment. We have a moment where even Resident Rump thought it was important enough to get up and have a stunt at the White House to talk about weapons. And of course, you see that he managed it carefully to come up with more guns. His solution with the problem with guns is more guns. Idiotic, of course, but that's his middle name. And I'd like to invite your calls and comments. 503-231-8187. Radio is interesting. Radio is useful right now. This is the oral surgery talking when I say interesting instead of useful. Radio is useful right now because this is one of those moments. It's the Me Too moment, and it's the turn in the guns moment. This is as close as we've gotten, as far as I can tell, just by trying to follow the zeitgeist. Just try to gestalt the zeitgeist, if I may come up with a couple of German terms there, and figure out exactly what's happening and what's cresting the wave. Right now it's Me Too, and it's getting rid of those goddamn assault rifles. So what do you think about that? The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And Michael's on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Teresa, you know, you just had the best idea I've heard. And why doesn't anybody talk about it? Paper ballots. Why are people so hung up on computers? You know, very simply, paper ballots. And I'm going to get off the air and take this, but take a minute and explain what zeitgeist is when you're done with that.
All right. Well, zeitgeist is simply the spirit of the times. Zeit, time, geist, spirit, zeitgeist.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, yeah, paper ballots. I mean, paper ballots are harder to fool people with. You can certainly do it. Oh, there's many ways to do it. Any magician can tell you. But those ways are known, and they take a little bit of time. They can be watched for. And it's just much easier to control an election with paper ballots, which is actually the reason why we have computers doing it. It's convenient for the Republicans to throw elections. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead to, because Ani Haynes, volunteer coordinator of KBOO Radio, has just come in, and she has something to announce about our fundraising technique today. Hello, Ani.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me on this morning. I'm really excited to let people know that KBOO is fully engaged with our Kickstarter campaign to build a city of media makers, keeping Portland's radical edge radicalized, and creating diverse medium for people to amplify their message, right? And this is where we need our listeners to participate by contributing to our Kickstarter campaign. You can find it easily at kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Or, if that is not something you can do at the moment, you can share our Kickstarter campaign in your social media feeds and help spread the word. Tell your story about why KBOO is a relevant media in your life, how KBOO has impacted you, why you listen, why you love Presswatch and Teresa Mitchell, because I know you do. Folks are always asking me when I'm out and about representing the station, well, is Teresa here? Is she going to be here? I really want to talk with Teresa about X, Y, or Z, because Teresa is, well, she's a real person, and she connects in a very real way. And she not only connects with the audience, you, dear listeners, but she also connects the dots when it comes to actually putting together information and analysis in a way that is so rare. And we are so very lucky to have Teresa on KBOO, and we're really lucky to have KBOO for Teresa, right? It's a symbiotic relationship. We help people who are passionate about the issues, about music, about poetry, about theater, about literary arts. We have people who are passionate here learning how to make media. Our training program is at our core of our mission, at our core of our charter. And we offer free training to people from the communities to access the media and to be the media, because it's a super empowering tool to be able to represent. And that's why right now it's important that you support that effort by going to kboo.fm/Kickstarter and checking out the campaign. You can see a great video that Derek Crooks, our morning news and public affairs director, created that really highlights what we do here at KBOO and who participates at KBOO. And it's a fantastic video. I found it quite moving, and actually I got a little teary in it, because KBOO is an important institution in this area, and sometimes we take it for granted, but let's not, especially when it comes to getting the tools of media into the hands of community members just like you, so you too can be the media. So help KBOO build a city of media makers. Go to Kickstarter and look for KBOO, kickstarter.com, look for KBOO, or you can simply go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter and share that campaign around in your social media feeds. Help us raise $20,000 by March 9th. So please do
March 9th? I thought we had more time than that.
No,
that's... Oh, that's interesting, because it's the all or nothing thing. This is our little gamble here. So let me see.
That's
we've,
right.
We've raised $6,381. Is that right?
That's right.
113 back years, 15 days. So we got 2 weeks left, and we have to raise the other $14,000. Or... everyone gets their money back. We don't get a dime. That's the gamble. That's interesting.
Yeah, this is an experiment. We haven't done this before, right?
Yeah.
So we're asking you to participate, make this a successful experiment, won't you? And help us raise that $20,000. We need to refurbish our field recording equipment, to continue to get tools of audio production into the hands of people, into the streets, into meetings, into conferences, where we need to gather the sound and make great audio with it. So please do support that effort. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter.
Thanks, Ani. Is that it?
Yeah, for now.
Okay.
I'll see you
all right,
again.
You'll be back. All right. All right. So it's 9:16, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This is called Press Watch, News You're Not Supposed to Know. And I've opened up. I had some headlines that I wanted to get to, and I may, but I opened up with the gun thing, because that's the zeitgeist right now, and people are talking about guns, and I really do want to, I want to look at this comprehensively. I want to look at this situation that we have. I mean, really, I think guys, especially guys in the society, need to understand that guns are being used to disempower you. Their guns are really just, They're making you so wimpy. And let me explain how this works. You're not being given your right, your due. And this society is a very, very, very rich society. I think most people do not comprehend what $1 trillion is. I don't know if I can. But really, it seems like money's tight. And you're made to believe that money's tight. Money is tight. Because it's been made to be tight. This country is extremely, extremely mind-blowingly rich. There's plenty of money for everyone, and it is being retained. It's being held out by major corporations in offshore holdings. It's being held up by major corporations by tax dodging, which they're very good at. You've heard the stories of major corporations that can get through an entire year without paying a dime in taxes, and in which they get subsidies from the U.S. government. It's because they have so much power. It's because they're not examined. It's because we don't have enough investigative radio. It's because we don't have enough left opinion radio. These things are important. We can't fight back if we don't even know what's going on. And so I've taken that little mantle on myself. I've decided that's going to be my role. And so for the last 30 years, I have tried to get on the air and say, look, this is the way things really are, and this is the way things are really happening. And I call myself an anarcho-socialist, which if you just want to break it down, it means that I'm for us sharing our power, our knowledge, and not agreeing to hierarchies where they are unnecessary. Anarcho-socialist. Not a big deal. Don't let it be scary. So we have the situation with the guns and the AR-15s and the pistols, especially the pistols, they really are substitutes for your power, and you're able to get these guns, guys, simply because you can't get the good jobs, because you've been convinced to defeat yourselves when it comes to unions. Unions is a bad word for so many of you, and to me it's so sad and so funny. I mean, it's just, I don't know where to start talking about unions. Just the most basic democracy. Democracy belongs in the workplace. It's your life. And what you're doing economically is the most important thing that directs your life. You need to have your hand on the tiller with your fellow workers democratically. And yes, you are a worker. That's another amazing thing that corporate America has convinced you that you're middle class. How absurd. Man, two paychecks from now, if you didn't get the next two paychecks, you wouldn't have a class at all, except that you'd be lumpen proletariat. And that's another German word. And that's a Marxist word for someone who has nothing, absolutely nothing. No home, no car, no place to be, no status, no nothing. You're two paychecks away from that. So stop telling yourself that you're middle class. Guys, stop telling yourself that you're manly when you have a gun. That's so ridiculous. Oh my God, that's so stupid. For one thing, every woman that you respect, guys, sees right through that. There are no women who say, I want to be with that guy. He's got a big gun. But that's what subconsciously has gotten into your brain by the back door. These guns make you look ridiculous. Oh my God. And you need to learn that you need real power. And I think that could start by being able to turn in your semi-automatic weapon and get 2,000 smackaroos for it. So that's my suggestion. Ban the sales of semi-auto. Ban the sales of these multiple magazines, and offer a $2,000 bounty. And as I said, within a couple of years, people will be stealing those just to turn them in. The supply of those automatic weapons will dry up. And also, I said, as a revolutionist, those things aren't necessary and would, in fact, get in the way. I don't have an assault weapon. Now, I have considered, especially after the incidents of swatting, after Obama signed the NDAA amendment, which allowed me or anyone, any dissenter, to be taken away without benefit of writ of habeas corpus. I got a 338 Mauser bolt action. Why? Because it has sufficient firepower and accuracy to go through a ballistic vest, which means that if you come at me with a ballistic vest, then you have to consider that there's a possibility that I could get that thing loaded and bear it against you. And that's a political gesture. Basically, you know, I keep that thing unloaded. I'm willing to take the risk, you know. It's like, I'm not willing to take the risk of some kid getting hold of it and playing with it, or someone getting hold of it and committing suicide with it. By the way, guys, did you know that the guns are used, I mean, statistically, these are just the numbers. The most likely thing, most likely person to be shot by a gun, if you buy a gun, is you. How sad is that? And again, I want to say you're being suckered. This gun is a replacement for the power you do not have, and which you can only get by organizing, by educating yourself. The only way you're going to get power is to grab power. The gun isn't going to do it. The gun's keeping you from having power. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And let's talk about a bounty for automatic weapons. What do you think of that idea? Let's go to the next caller. Beth is on the air. Hi, Beth.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
there.
I think your idea is great. They did it in Australia.
Did they use a bounty?
They paid people for guns.
They paid people for guns. I didn't know that. All right, then.
Yeah, it's been done. It's amazing. Nobody knows these things. yeah, it's been done. They don't have mass shootings like we do. The number of people with guns has gone way down, and people are much safer. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer that it's time that we start pushing for no-brainers. And, you know, I I'm really sick of waking up and hearing about the latest mass shooting. I think everybody else is, too. I'm super proud of the teenagers from Parkland, Florida, for going and sticking it in the NRA's face. And I think we need more of that.
That was so brave.
Directly blaming the NRA is the way to go,
yeah. And
directly blaming Congress is the way to go. And I actually think we should have a tally from each mass shooting to the next time somebody has an opportunity to talk to Congress and say, hey, since the last time we talked, 8,000 people have been murdered by these things. What do you think? I think that's on you.
I think it really shows that our representatives are put in place and held in place by corporate profits, and they don't give a damn about us. They don't have to give a damn. They don't have time to give a damn. That's how broken the system is.
I agree. There's two things going on. One, a huge amount of money coming in from the NRA. There's an automatic blessing of machismo if you vote with the NRA, which seems to get a lot of people excited. And then the other thing I think that is really going on is these are super privileged people. They just don't think it can happen to them. They don't care, and they just want the power. And it's time for us to call, you know, crap on this. And this whole illusion that guns are some kind of mystical power is just amazing. I don't know if you remember.
You don't get excited about guys with guns, Beth?
Ew. I don't know if you remember on the Colbert Report, Stephen Colbert used to do a little bit where he would pull out his gun, Precious, and he would practically masturbate it. It was hilarious.
Well, and it's right on, too.
You know, just kind of showing the psychosexual absurdity of gun ownership. It was great.
That's great. Yeah, come on, guys. You're being had.
Yeah, clearly. So thanks for the show. I love your work. Keep it up.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. The proposition to offer $2,000, no questions asked, no test, no nothing, to turn in your mass murdering weapon, your semi-auto rifle. $2,000, just come and get it and ban the sale. What do you think of that? And raise next. Whoops, we dropped that call, so we'll go to the next caller. All right, the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I think that you can see, or you can hear, I guess I should put it that way, how important radio is. And right now, we have this zeitgeist to work with, and I want to build on this. This is the moment to talk about this thing, and I want you to pull up KBOO. And as I was saying with Ani here earlier, we've got this all-or-nothing project going on. We're trying this different sort of fundraising. We definitely will be doing more, excuse me, more membership drives in the traditional fashion. It works. It's what defines community radio. We're not abandoning that. But we're trying this, which I think is fascinating. And so since we're experimenting, I want to experiment with a little bit too. It's very easy. I don't have to give you any further information in terms of finding it other than just pull up KBOO. You put KBOO in your browser, it's going to say KBOO.fm. Click it, and you'll see all this stuff. And it's on the splash page. So in other words, just put in KBOO.fm right now. Find it. If you're listening to me online, open another tab, please, and hit the splash dealy. And so you'll see help KBU build a city of media makers. And you'll see that we've raised $6,003. And we've got 15 days to go. And you'll see that it's all or nothing. Either we get our 20K or we don't get diddly zip nothing nada. Get all back. So here's my experiment. I'd like to ask you, if you're a longtime KBOO supporter, you know, if you give however much per month, will you please pull up KBOO.fm right now, and it'll show you the splash page. You know, I'm talking about the first thing that doesn't let you on, and it says, you know, help KBOO build a blah blah. And then there's a green bar, it says back this project. So I'm going to click this right now. I've got this up, back this project, and then it says support this project. And it says, make a pledge without a reward. So I'm going to ask you to, if you're already a supporter, tag us for $5 or $20. Right now, just do that. Why? Because this is an experiment. We're raising some money. We'll see if we can do this. I want to see what kind of bounce back I get when I'm doing this on the air and online. Right now, will you do that? There's another category right down from that. It says $10 or more. Here, a community leader. There's another one down from that. You get the KBOO Challenge coin. But I'm experimenting, and you're supposed to pick one thing when you do this. And there's other rules. You're supposed to say it seven times in order to get people to actually participate. That's what I hear. I believe it works. Anyway, so pull up KBOO, hit the participate button, and hit make a pledge without a reward. I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to press that button. Okay, I pressed it. And it says pledge amount, and it says $10. So do that. And then it says continue. And it's, you know, it's going to get your info. Will you do that now? Just do that. We want to see, you know, this is something we might use in the future. So back to the point, we have this horror. Now, I want to say also about this horror of the gun massacres, this is exact, precise karma. This is societal karma. I remember Michael Parenti saying that we'd better hope that there's no such thing as social karma. Well, I think that there really is. I mean, think about it. In the society, the first thing that happened on this continent when the European invaders showed up was a massacre, a genocide, an attempted genocide, followed by an attempt to cover up the genocide in various ways. There's so many different ways of covering up the genocide. One of them is pretending it didn't happen, saying it wasn't so bad, saying that anyone would do it and it was just guns and germs, putting things like the chief insignia for a football, I think it's a football team, maybe it's basketball, making light of it. We pretend the genocide didn't happen or that it was somehow inevitable, but the energy of the genocide is still there, and we have to keep up, we meaning the entire society, and especially white people, have to keep up this pretense that it wasn't a horrific historic crime and that it isn't still going on. Then, cheap labor. Cheap labor brought in by cramming people from Africa into slots, into ships, bringing them over here, working them literally to death. Now we have to pretend that that wasn't so bad. Here again, we, as I'm mostly saying white people here. Now we have to pretend that that's over with and that that dynamic still isn't happening. Then Jim Crow extending slavery and creating the mass incarceration state. We have to pretend that that's somehow natural and necessary. We have to forget that we have more people in prison than any other nation. We have to pretend that it's not done on a race basis. There's so much energy in pretending. And then, as I was saying, white men don't have access to satisfying social and economic relations. Can't get a job, not fitting in society. So we give them a gun instead, the sucker play. You know, here's your toy, here's your totem, to make you feel like you're really something. And then of course, we have people acting out this sort of Hamlet fantasy where they're the hero and everyone dies, including them. It's very, the energy that leads to these mass slaughters is pretty transparent. If you actually admit to yourself what the society is and what we have done, what sort of energy the United States lives on and dies on, of course we're slaughtering our school children. So I want to lay that out there. And my suggestion is, let's turn in the guns. Let's turn them in on a non-coercive basis. No one can say, you know, when you're just turning in your gun for $2,000, not being forced to turn it in. Of course, actually you are. You know, this is a trick. I'm being a little cynical. I mean, this is sort of like we don't have a draft. Oh, yes, we do. We have economic desperation and people find some way to fit their heads into the military and they go in the military. Well, this is the same sort of thing with guns. Turn in your gun, you get $2,000. I think that might work. What do you think? And we'll ban the sale of them. And I think it'll dry up. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Allison's on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I grew up on a 7,000-acre cattle ranch in Klamath Falls, and we had guns, and this was in the 1950s. Also in the 1950s, it was possible for a middle-class American family to own a 7,000-acre cattle ranch.
Yeah.
And $12 of groceries would last a family of four or five for about 3 months.
Well, that's meaningless unless you, I'm sorry, that sounded rather harsh. I meant to say that the actual dollar amount is only relates to the amount of labor it takes to make that. But I know what you're saying is, like,
no,
you could make enough money.
Gun ownership is escalating because people are afraid, they're demeaned, they're marginalized, they're isolated. They don't have access to the economics and the satisfaction of having control of your own life. So they turn to firearms in our culture. because so much has been stripped away from them. I remember when bank accounts used to make 17% interest, and on credit cards, you could write off the interest. So they sucked people into this identity and then pulled the carpet out from under us. And so one of the ways to express the symptoms of how we've been treated as a society is to get these firearms and demand the attention and to annihilate lives and to be in control in some factor of your life. And so this is what's happened. If you provide an economy that's accessible to the middle class man and the dignity that we used to have, you would see the gun problem decline. And that's my personal life experience of what I've seen and what I have lived. I remember when people were not crazy about guns. It wasn't the center of our identity. This is all that's left as the center of our identity.
Right on, Allison. I really think you've hit the nail on the head. And I was born in the 50s, and my dad at one point had cattle, and so I can relate to all that. And yeah, it's all nonsense, and it really is it's such a pretense. The idea, we have the idea that you can be manly with a gun. I saw another version of substitute manliness on the way here. There was a guy who has a great big truck, and he was rolling coal. Excuse me, he was rolling coal. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, you know. And speaking about manliness, though, 1950s, the women always stayed home, and the man always provided. Suddenly, it took a two income to provide. And now it's capped that even. And you need four or five roommates to survive, you know. And so, again, it's stripping away our culture. It's shifting our culture and taking the dignity away.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say clumsily earlier about the $12. It's like another way to say it would be a day's pay would get you a couple of weeks' worth of groceries, and that's just not the case
two
now.
Two or three months' worth of groceries. Yeah. I mean, it's totally different. I mean, even in the 1980s, I got into school late. I was in school full time. I did the Navy Reserves on the weekend. I worked full time. And in 4 years, I graduated debt free with $10,000 in the bank. You know, and now I'm back getting my master's degree at Oregon State University, and I'm standing in line to buy my school books, and the school books are as much money as the tuition was back in 1980.
Yeah, we older people who remember this need to speak out about this, because especially, you know, if you were born 20 years ago, you haven't experienced just how badly you've been robbed and just how badly your social status and rights have been stripped away.
You don't know what's really good. And, you know, and what you are entitled to, you have no experience about what that really means. And, you know, so this gun situation is a symptom of what we have shifted in our culture.
Right on, Allison. Well, okay, so now I'm going to, with that call, I'm going to do a few headlines because these headlines are kind of bothering me. I want to get these headlines out, and then we'll go back to the gun debate. And I thank you for calling in, Allison. I really think you've got exactly the right analysis there. This from the Black Alliance for Peace. They write, Friends of Black Alliance for Peace has received troubling news of an impending military assault on the sovereign nation of Venezuela by states and forces allied with the United States. The objective is to remove the elected government of Venezuela and turn over the country to the right-wing oligarchy. This move is in line with the strategic objective of the last two administrations, U.S. administrations, that identified Venezuela as a threat to U.S. national interests, meaning the corporations, which means that the Venezuelan process is seen as a threat to the interest of the Euro-American colonialist capitalist project. I mean, the Black Alliance for Peace writes, We are calling on folks to closely monitor this situation. We will provide as much information on this as possible. Please alert the forces you work with about the situation as you receive it from us or acquire it for yourself. And let's assist in raising the level of awareness on this situation. We are all part of the Americas, and as our BAP principles reflect, they write, we stand in solidarity with the struggling peoples of the Global South who are resisting U.S. imperialism. The Coalition Against U.S. Foreign Military Bases, which the BAP helped found, is organizing actions February 16th through 23rd For the 115th anniversary of the United States occupying Guantanamo, we demand the United States return Guantanamo to Cuba. If you or your organization coordinate an action, please reply to this message, they write, with that information so we can include it in the weekly blast and on our event page. And that is from the Black Alliance for Peace. Rather than give you a URL, I'll just ask you to put that in your search bar if you want to find that online. Black Alliance for Peace, and they sign off with no retreat, no compromise. Also, another headline, the information is coming out increasingly about the U.S. biological warfare in Korea during the 1950 war there. On Medium.com, written largely by the most prestigious British scientist of his day, a report was effectively suppressed upon its release in 1952, published now in text searchable format. It includes hundreds of pages of evidence about use of U.S. biological weapons during the Korean War, available for the first time to the general public. Back in the early 1950s, the U.S. conducted a furious bombing campaign during the Korean War, dropping hundreds of thousands of tons of ordnance, much of it napalm, on North Korea. The bombardment, worse than any country had received up to that point, excepting the effects of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, wiped out nearly every city in North Korea, contributing to well over a million civilian deaths. Because of the relentless bombing, the people were reduced to living in tunnels. Even the normally bellicose General MacArthur claimed to find the devastation wreaked by the U.S. to be sickening. This, again, from Medium.com by Jeffrey S. K., author of Cover Up at Guantanamo. He writes, most controversially, both North Korea and China alleged that by early 1952, the U.S. was using biological or germ warfare weapons against both North Korea and China. The U.S. government has strenuously denied this. Nonetheless, captured U.S. flyers were told their North Korean and Chinese captors about the use of such weapons. They told their captors about the use of such weapons. Later, after the prisoners were returned to U.S. custody, counterintelligence experts and psychiatrists interrogated them. They were told under threat of court-martial to renounce their confessions about germ warfare, and they all did so. There's much more on that article. You can find it. It's by Jeffrey S. K. Find it on Medium.com. I may go back to it, depending on how many colors we get and what order we get them in. But this is basically about anthrax. And look, dialing down on the information on this... I think this is like a 700-page report. All sorts of experimental ways of producing, spreading the anthrax they propagated that anthrax in really weird ways. They gave anthrax to spiders and spread them around. They put anthrax in beetles so the kids would play with them. The U.S. attacked North Korea with anthrax. And... that's the basis of this report. It's no longer possible to deny it or to hide it after all these years. So I encourage you to find that information on your own. And the topic for today is guns. And I am suggesting, and... And the manner in which I'm suggesting this has everything to do with my oral surgery, so I hope that you'll forgive me for being stumbly today. I'm sitting instead of standing. I'm not doing the video today just because I'm kind of woozy. And you can be woozy, too, if you want to have oral surgery. The guy that did it was really good, and if you want to pay him enough for a used motorcycle, then he can make you look like you've been hit with a brick, too. All right, number to call, 503-231-8187. We're talking about a bounty, $2,000, to turn in your assault weapon. And Mary Jo is on the line.
Hello, did you get that?
Hello, it's you, yeah.
Oh, it's Barry Jo.
Sorry about that, Barry.
Yeah, it's Barry Jo.
Barry Jo, okay.
All right, thanks. Thanks so much. I have to get my name straight. You know how it goes.
Right.
I think the bounty is a great idea, especially the no questions asked. I was in the Oregon State Penitentiary for pot, and one of my buddies told me one of the drug dealers in there was telling him about how he had he liked homemade porn, and so the burglars that were his drug buying customers would look for that when they broke into a house, because that was something that he kind of rewarded them for, you know. So the burglaries were triggered by the demand for the homemade porn. And so if you say no questions asked for assault weapons, they're going to be turned in. you know, we had to turn in your gun and get sneakers here in Portland, and my buddy Dave and I, Dave Hyde and I, said, how about you turn in your gun, you get a musical instrument? Because then at least you learn a skill and you can do something, right?
Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I just want to combine the fact that, I mean, the gun is a sucker substitute for the fact that you've been stripped of economic and social power. So why not turn that around with the bounty and give you 2,000 smackers to do whatever you want to with, no questions asked?
You know, I gave $2,000 to KBOO in June of 2017. So I know what $2,000 can do for a person and for KBOO.
Well, thank you.
So my pleasure. I just wanted to tell you a couple things real quickly here. I'm cleaning up my place, and whenever I go to the store to buy household cleaners, I always buy ammonia and bleach on the same receipt at the same purchase, because if you mix those two together, and I certainly would never, let me say that again, I would certainly never mix those two together, but if anybody does mix them two together, it creates a poisonous gas called ammonium chlorhydrate. And it's a household product mixed with another household product, right? So this whole idea about banning, you know, bump stocks or nuclear weapons or whatever, you know, look under your sink. That's where the real danger is, right? So,
I think that that's an interesting point. And I think we have to deal with the society as it is, and we have to deal with the society's obsessions. Right now, the society is obsessed with these guns. Men have been convinced that these guns give them some power when they actually don't. And so I want to address that directly. Those sure. guns really do not give you power.
I want to close with two quick things. My cousin Bill was my age peer. He shot himself. It happened to be he was childless, and it happened to be the day that his sister had her fifth child, so that might have been something that triggered him taking his own life. But my own status is I have a felony conviction for marijuana only, and never for delivery, all for personal use. And in every police car on the screen, it shows up potential armed career criminal. And it says, if found with a firearm, regarding me, if found in possession of a firearm, notify the ATF. So after the cops got weird when this showed up here this century, I said, what's going on? And they showed me it on the screen, and I wrote down the number, and I talked to Monique from the ATF, and she said the number that was on the police car screens. And she said that they got some funding, and they were going back through and updating the armed career criminal potential people. And she said, I must have three or more violent federal felonies. And I said, I don't have any federal crimes, and I don't have any violent crimes. I just have marijuana. What's the law? So I looked it up, and on about page two of the three pages of this armed career criminal thing, where I would get 15 years mandatory minimum, no parole, if I had a firearm.
I think I'm following your point. And I'm actually going to have to roll up this call because it's time to fundraise again. I thank you very much for calling in. I really do agree with where you're going with that. I mean, especially since marijuana arrests and those felony marijuana arrests were done on a disproportionately racist basis, we need to pay reparations to everyone who was victimized by felony marijuana arrests. And those records need to be cleaned out, and we need to stop treating people like criminals just because they smoked dope. All the way, not just stop arresting them, but clean out the record, pay reparations for the loss of time and jobs and all the, you know, the horrific loss that you suffer when you're arrested for something like that, reverse the felony status, etc. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and I am joined once again by Ani Haynes, who's here to tell you about our little experiment, the Kickstarter.com project.
Absolutely. We are building a city of media makers, right? That's what KBOO has been doing for 50 years now, thanks to the contributions and support of our members. And right now, we are engaging in a little experiment and trying to fundraise $20,000 online in 30 days. And you are an important part of making that a successful experiment. Please contribute to our Kickstarter campaign. You can find it at kboo.fm/Kickstarter. KBOO is here providing free training and access to the media for community members just like you. We are getting the tools of the trade into the hands of community members so that you can go forth and gather great audio and come back and make fantastic radio and podcasts and, you know, be a part of getting out the message that is so important to hear. What message is that? It's your message. It is actually a diversity of opinions that make up our news and public affairs hours. It is the diversity of music people are passionate about and come down and share. It is the diversity of poetry and theater. It is everything that is KBOO. Please contribute to our Kickstarter campaign. And maybe if you can contribute yourself right now to our Kickstarter campaign, you can share this message with your friends and family. Please put it in your social media feeds. Share it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, because it is so important that we spread the word of what we do and that people understand that we're more than just a community radio station. We are a center for vibrant thought, discussion, debate. We are a center of radical inclusivity. We create the FM signal, we create the FM content, but we also create and host myriad podcasts, and everything that we put out is archived on our website, kboo.fm, which is an improvement we've been able to make with support of folks just like you listening right now. So please recognize the power that you have to share the information about KBOO's Kickstarter campaign. Share that again in your social media feeds. You can find it by a couple of ways. Perhaps the easiest is to go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter, and it'll take you right to the Kickstarter campaign page. You can also find it if you are a fan of Kickstarter. You can just search for KBOO there. At Kickstarter.com. And then please do remember to share that and spread the word. And Teresa, you have been doing Press Watch here on KBOO since 1990?
1990 on KBOO, and I came up from KAZI Austin, where I had been doing it since, I think, 86.
And so, you know, what does it mean to you to be a media maker through KBOO? How has that impacted the community in your life?
Well, it's given me a sense of purpose. As I was saying earlier, I put that mantle on myself, and I tried over the years, year by year, I've tried to get better at it. And my little project here is to strengthen the left with information, to strengthen the resolve with information. And this gun debate is one way we can do it. It also gives me an opportunity to come up with ideas that may or may not spread. For example, the idea of having a $2,000 no questions asked bounty seems to be appealing to people, and a radio station is really just a perfect way of doing that. It's a broadcast. We're also on the web, so you can hear it later. We've got the best of both worlds with that. And we've been expanding into video as well, not this week, but next week we'll get back to that.
Well, specifically on Press Watch, KBOO overall is still doing some video this week.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the cool thing. We are learning to use media as it develops. We are bringing people in and teaching those new skills as well as these standby skills of being an FM broadcaster.
It's direct fundraising. That's why we're still standing.
Yeah.
That's what works now. It works now better than it ever did, actually, because ad sales aren't working for newspapers, radio stations, or just about anybody. Direct funding is the way to go, and that allows you direct control as well.
So please do contribute to our Kickstarter campaign. Build a city of media makers with KBOO. Help Portland keep that radical edge and help the world be a better place through the production of independent, people-powered media powered by people just like you. Please keep our training program strong and free and accessible. Keep our equipment up to date and into the hands of community reporters. Please, that is to say, share the word about our Kickstarter campaign and contribute your very own self. Just go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter.
Thank you, Annie. I was one of the headline items I was going to use was from TELUS, sir. I don't have time to do the whole thing, but 1 in 3 Americans now has been reported. I mean, this is 1/3 of us have now, at some point in our lives, been reported to a private collection agency. I was talking about how screwed the economy is, how robbed we have been of our place in society. This is a big part of it, and debt peonage is something that we all experience. Telesur writes, the majority of cases affecting Latin American and African American communities. So here again, it's disproportionate, and frankly, it's racist. Disproportionate, as I have often said, is a word that Republicans cannot hear, because disproportionate aggression is how you commit racism. And another way you commit racism is never looking at it directly, never talking about it, never addressing it, never basically repenting or atoning for the racism that the society is built on. And debt peonage, a huge part of that. Instead of a place in society, you have debt peonage, and you have access to a war weapon that you can slaughter school children with. That's how sick things are. And my suggestion is let's ban the sale of AR-15s and that type of weapon. Those things with the giant magazines for shooting and shooting and shooting, those are war weapons. Let's ban the sale, just as we did for many years previous, and let's have a no-questions-asked $2,000 bounty so that the supply of them will dry up, because that takes advantage of the situation on the ground. We're all broke. We need the money. We need to get rid of those guns. Just pay for them, I say. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. An estimated 77 million Americans are weighed down with thousands of dollars in debts, and thousands are sent to jail every year, according to a new report called A Pound of Flesh, published Wednesday by the American Civil Liberties Union. So pull that up. And while you're at it, pull up your resistance. Because remember, this debt, especially commercial debt, the debt creates wealth for corporations and takes it from you in a very direct way. You need the Debt Resistors Manual. Can you remember that? Put it on a search engine, Debt Resistors Manual. Go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Joyce is on here.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been listening to the conversation, agree with a lot of what has been said, can relate to it in some ways. I believe that the stopgap measures must be taken around what's happening with guns and especially assault rifles. But I still come down to the question of why people feel they need guns. And I was listening to the lady, Allison, before me, talk about how her life has changed so much, and a lot of people's lives have changed in the past few years. And what a contrast that is for me as an African-American woman and a member of the African-American society community. Her life experience is so different than me and my people. And yet, we have found ways, most of us have found ways to live with the vulnerabilities that we face. And I'm wondering why others can't do that as well. No gun is going to protect me from the vulnerabilities in life that I face. I walk down the streets of Portland every day, a city that I was born and raised in, and now I look, white people can't even look me in the eye. Or they look at me in ways that make me afraid. But I never do think that I'm going to get a gun. I think we need to look at what kind of society we want. We need to create a new society based on new values around fairness, justice, opportunity, all the things that we feel and create those institutions and those laws that will support sustainability. Envision what we might want, and then start talking to our children and setting that vision in their head. I have a son-in-law, a recent son-in-law, past 5 years, who is white. He comes from a privileged background. He has weapons. I don't know if he has assault weapons, but I'm going to ask him if he has assault weapons. He has two children, a boy and a girl, my grandchildren. I'm going to ask him not to have those assault weapons, to take those out of his home, and don't teach my grandchildren to use them. I love my son-in-law. We have had many discussions where we have, if his family voted for Trump, he did not. So we have very interesting conversations. Well, we're learning about why we feel the way we do.
Well, I like your analysis, and I think it's very well said. I think what you're describing is actual strength. I mean, this is how you've dealt with, as you say, the different situation that you grew up with actual strength instead of this faux strength, this fake strength that comes from gun possession.
Exactly. We need to teach our kids. I think it's a little bit too late for many of us to change, but I think our children... There's hope in our children, and we have to instill in them a different vision.
That's a great analysis to wrap up with, and so I thank you very much for your call, and I've pretty much run out of time. You've been listening to Press Watch. It's 9:58, so we're coming up at the top of the hour, and that means that we've got Air Cascadia at 10 o'clock. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre, who is ready to come through that door. At 10:15, it's Flash Points with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Between the Covers, David Naiman speaks to Therese Marie Melot about her book, Heart Berries, a poetic memoir of a woman's coming to age. And more here on KBOO Portland. As I was saying earlier, we are raising money with our Kickstarter, which means that you need to pull up KBOO.fm. You can do that right now, and you'll see how to do it. I'm asking you, if you're a regular contributor, just to tag us with a few bucks right now so that we can get this experiment through and see how it works out. And remember, we've got 2 weeks to do it, and if we don't get it all in at 20,000, well, this is how the experiment works. We don't get anything. All of you get all of your money back. So I'm hoping that we can do that. Stay tuned to KBOO because you know what's coming up, and you know why you like it. We're going out to you via KBOO.fm to all the ships at sea.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10 o'clock. Up next at 10, we have Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Between the Covers, David Naiman speaks to Theresa Mary Mayhot about her book, Heartberries. At 11:30, we have Radio Zine.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Il Camille and Fritzois, Saturday, February 24th from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Tonic Lounge in Portland. From Los Angeles, MC Il Camille's divine mission is to uplift the world through Heirloom, her latest record. Fritzois' latest, the self-written and produced Avenue A, is filled with a soul-drenched sound that doesn't quite sit in a neat box of influences. The night also includes DJ sets by DJ Black Daria and DJ Shishi of Everyday Mixtapes. This is a 21 and over event. Again, that's Il Camille and Fritzois, Saturday, February 24th from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Tonic Lounge, 3100 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.